Kate here at the Google Garden Party at Bletchley Park, and I've actually managed to find here in the tent. Well, actually, we've stepped just outside the tent into the rain, so I'm going to keep this brief. But I found one of the Bletchley Park veterans. If you'd like to introduce yourself.
My name is Jean Valentine. I worked here 1943 to 44, and then they moved me over to Colombo, which was in Ceylon, is now in Sri Lanka.
Wow, and what was the kind of work that you were doing while you were here?
Well, I was using a machine called a bomb here, which found the settings on the rotors of the Enigma. Then when I went to Ceylon, I had a paper and pencil, because it was the weather messages, encrypted, of course. But, of course, they were like our weather code, figures. So I only had to use figures. So I was able to do it with paper and pencil, sort of.
And when you were here, did you realise the importance of the work that you were doing?
Yes, I knew that we were doing something important because we'd signed the Official Secrets Act, we were sworn to secrecy, and we wouldn't have been asked to do that had it been unimportant. And also, we did not speak. We were told not to speak, so we didn't speak. And I actually, I'm going to drop names here, when I was with Her Majesty about 2-3 weeks ago, she said, "How did you manage to keep this a secret?" And I said, "Because there was a word then which doesn't exist in the English language now." And she said, "What is that?" And I said, "Discipline. We were told not to, so we didn't do it."
So at what point did you finally start speaking about what you've been doing?
Well, a book came out in 1975-ish by a man called Winterbottom. And it told quite a lot, but not everything. In fact, everything's not out of the woodwork yet. But it did open the door a little bit for us, so I was able then to tell my husband what I'd done, that sort of thing. Sadly, my parents had died by then, so they never knew. And gradually, over the years, more and more has seeped out. And anything we know now, I think we're free to talk about, as far as I understand it anyway.
So, I mean, it's a while since you were here doing the work. What's changed, and you know, how do you feel when you're back here now?
Well, I've been guiding here for 12 years, so the sense of coming back has rather worn off. I mean, I've been doing it for so long. And there are affairs like this which make it interesting. I've done quite a bit of work on radio. I've done three counties, and I've done Radio Berkshire and one thing and the other. And so it's just get used to it, that's all. You see, the thing is, there's not many of my generation left. And if they are, they're sort of deaf and incapacitated or something. That's still on my feet and I can still hear.
So are you writing down some of your stories so that they don't get lost?
I don't think anybody would bother to read them, so I'm not doing it.
You sound like my granny. I told her she must spend 20 minutes a day writing down stories from her life, because otherwise they're going to disappear. And I'm sure you must have some really interesting things that it would be a...
All my grandchildren here, bar one, but they don't bully me. They're afraid of me, actually.
I don't bully Granny. I try and persuade her that she should write her 20 minutes a day, because I would like to read those stories one day.
Well, if you were a true granddaughter, you'd offer to do it for her. Poor old thing, what a shame. You issuing orders, you must do this. No, you just give yourself 20 minutes a day to listen to her, either on the telephone or in person. How about that?
Oh, I do. I phone her every morning. I do.
Really? Do you live near her?
She lives a couple of hours away from me.
Well, I think that is very nice. And then when you've heard her voice, you know she's got through the night all right.
Exactly, exactly. Well, so we're here today. We're trying to raise some money because there's actually quite a lot of restoration work that needs doing here. What's the state of the hut that you worked in? Is it shiny or is it falling apart?
No, it's been painted in a horrible blue colour inside. But Simon knows this very well, because every time I have to speak in public in front of him, I bring him into it. And I say, "Really, Simon, I would like something to happen to hut 11, you know." And Peter Barron's had to suffer it as well when I've been with him. So it's along there. There's a pink hut on the right, hut 11's on the left, and that was it. And that's where the bombs were. And I would love to see it. You know, we've got the bomb rebuild, which is down in B block. That could go up there. It would be a real piece of history, you know. But I just nag away. I'm quite happy to nag. That's what I was put on the earth for. As you know, that's all women do, isn't it?
So I'm allowed to nag my grandmother in that case. Anyway, thank you ever so much for your time. Thank you.
Bye-bye.